We're at Suvarna Vihar. The former residence and palace of King Suvarna Sen. If you remember from our earlier discussions, the area where Chankazi resided was historically the place where the ruling dynasty made their residence long, long prior to Chankazi and the Muslim rule, was the rule of Vaishnava kings, the Sen, S-E-N, dynasty. Lakshman Sen and before him Mallal Sen, and long lineage of kings. Where all those shops are now, and the area just behind them was huge palatial residence for the king. We won't have time this visit, but behind where all those shops are, you can go in the back, and there's very clear, visible ruins of an old, huge structure. The stones are still there, and the walls and the rooms. The palace of the Sen dynasty. During the time of Prithu Maharaj, if you recall, when we were at the Chaitanya Gaudiya Math, and we went down that along the side wall, the boundary wall, and across that big agricultural field, a pond on one side, and we're heading for Murari Gupta's home, up on that little rise. To our left as we were going out, or to your right as you're coming back, that area is called Balal Digi, named after Balal Sen, because his son renovated a kund that was previously known as Prithu Kund, because Prithu Maharaj, during his rule of the earth, he wanted to see that the earth was producing ample supply for the people of the world. And so one of the ways that he had planned to do that was where there were large tracts of land where there's no arable land, the plan was to level the land so it could become useful for agriculture. So when his soldiers and men were in that area, they saw that there was an effulgence coming from the earth. And they reported that to Prithu Maharaj, who said, "Stop your digging. Let me personally come and see." And when he came, he could understand, this is something very special. A great personality, perhaps a form of the Lord, will appear here. And so he stayed for some time and worshipped the Lord in that area. And a kund was established called Prithu Kund, and later enlarged by the king Lakshman Sen, and called it Balal Digi. We're going to visit later on, a few days, we'll visit Champahati, where we'll hear something about Jayadev Goswami some 300 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. Jayadev Goswami resided in this area and was associated with Lakshman Sen. So, going further and further and further back in time was a king who resided right here where we are, and his name was King Suvarna Sen, part of a very long standing dynasty of kings. And Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, so I'd like to orient you a little bit to that book. It's historically accurate, depicting in detail a prakrama of Navadvip Dham that was conducted by Lord Nityananda himself. And the person who was, he was showing the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes was Jiva Goswami. When Jiva Goswami was just a small boy, his father, Anupam, and two uncles, Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, imagine having two uncles like that, had the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he was just a small baby during that time. And then Rupa and Sanatan left to engage in full-time service. Rupa and Anupam traveled together. Anupam, his father, gave up his life somewhere in the course of those travels. So Jiva Goswami was left alone without father. But he grew up with hearing of the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and wanting to get the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he was just a small boy without the protection of his father. So when he grew up to become of a young adult age, Rupa and Sanatan were still residing in Vrindavan. So he wanted to be with his two uncles and hear more about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he made a plan to travel, and one of the first places he came was to Navadvip Dham because he wanted to personally see the places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And by divine arrangement, Lord Nityananda was here to receive him. And Lord Nityananda was an ecstatic devotee, and Jiva Goswami was an ecstatic student, and so they had an ecstatic time. Unbelievably ecstatic time, at times outrageously ecstatic. And one of those ecstasies happened right here at Suvarna Vihar. The scene was Lord Nityananda, and on this particular day, Srivas Pand was with them, was traveling with Jiva Goswami along some of the paths that Mahaprabhu would follow as he would go with his devotees and have Sankirtan, chanting and dancing through the jungles of what was at that time jungle-like place here in Navadvip Dham. So when they came to this place, Suvarna Vihar, Lord Nityananda began to describe the history. And the history goes back to Satya Yuga. And in Satya Yuga, there was one king, Suvarna Sen. And Suvarna Sen was one of those personalities that really liked wealth. And so he engaged in accumulation of wealth and power, and engaged in, he did it religiously, he engaged in Karmakanda rituals. The whole Leela very much reminds me of the Bhagavatam version of King Pachini Bhari at the end of the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. A religious man, a king, respected by everybody. He was very effective in his ruling because he was so pious, so virtuous, loved by everyone. But inside, too much attached to accumulation of wealth and fruitive gain. And as he grew older, he didn't tire of it. He continued and continued and continued. So the same personality, Narada Muni, who relieved King Pachini Bhari in a very, very beautiful way, relieved him of his fruitive tendencies and fixed him on the path of pure devotion, came here to the palace of Suvarnasen. And because the king was very pious, he received Narada Muni very nicely. And he sat at Narada's feet, wishing to hear transcendental knowledge. So he got it to the max. Narada Muni was right away expressing to the king, why are you wasting this valuable human form of life in this way? You're thinking, you're building great wealth for your family and your dynasty. But what is this family and dynasty? At the end of this body, thou take the body, place it in the Ganga, and then where is your family? And all of your possessions. You have such an opulent palace, an opulent kingdom. But what comes of all of that wealth at the time of death? Will it give you safety and shelter and happiness? And that so-called happiness that you experience through having all these things, this opulence that you're so eager for, how substantial is that happiness? There's no substance in that happiness, and along with that happiness, so much misery has to be accepted. Why are you living your life in this way? You should be searching for the absolute truth. That which is of real substance. And you should bring yourself to the stage where you're old. Fully immerse yourself in that practice of seeking the absolute truth. So what is the process for seeking the absolute truth? Is it by Karmakanda rituals? Is it by the cultivation of knowledge? Is it by pursuing mystic yoga? None of these things are going to satisfy the real craving for happiness of the individual soul. He gave him the full range of the Bhagavatam's message. And as he was describing, no, the process, even if you merge with the absolute, what is that happiness? It's like annihilation of the self. Is that happiness? Is that true happiness? No. The true happiness of the soul is by engaging in unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as Narada was describing the ways and the means of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became completely ecstatic. And he got up and started dancing in ecstasy and said, at this very place, my dear king, unfortunate as you are, that you've engaged yourself your whole lifetime in pursuit of material happiness. Please know that in this very place, in Navadvip Dham, a most munificent form of the personality of Godhead will appear, and you will be one of his associates. You will be Buddhimanta Khan, and you will be able to engage in service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who will be known as Gauranga. His form will be very tall, and his limbs will be golden in complexion, and with his arms raised, he'll engage in chanting of the holy names of the Lord. And as Narada was describing like this, he just went off into a transcendental trance, calling the name Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. And he left. And King Suvarna Sen was carried by the ecstatic emotion of Narada Muni. And so he began to contemplate how fortunate I am, how unfortunate that I've been so attached, but how fortunate I am that I've gotten the association of Narada, and he's helped to prepare me for this life of devotion to the Personality of God. And he began calling out loudly the name of Gauranga. Gauranga, Gauranga. And as he was narrating in this way, Shiva's pundit, who is none other than Narada Muni, fainted in ecstasy. Jiva Goswami, seeing the ecstasy of Lord Nityananda as he was describing this wonderful scene, he also was crying and crying, and just how wonderful is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Jiva Goswami was wanting so much. Because I was a small boy, I didn't get the opportunity to see, to associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he began calling, as Suvarna Sen heard Narada calling the name of Gauranga. And in an ecstatic mood, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit and his associates all came up this little hill. And before their very eyes, engaged in Nam Sankirtan, chanting in great ecstasy, Jiva Goswami swooned to see the Lord of his life, who never before had he seen directly, had come to give his association because of the ecstatic mood that had been generated. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes these scenes. And as Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan party came, they also went, as we will also later go, to Nrisingapalli to engage further in Nam Sankirtan. Such an important message is this message that Narada delivered to King Suvarna Sen, that we hear it again and again in Mahaprabhu's teaching and in the Bhagavatam's teachings. This process of devotional service is meant to take us beyond the platform of speculative knowledge, beyond the platform of fruitive activity, into the realm of pure devotional service. The realm of pure devotional service is made up of initially understanding that we have a relationship with the Personality of Godhead. Fundamentally, everything that exists emanates from the Supreme. And so there's a natural relationship of everything that exists in relation to the Supreme. And in that relationship with the Supreme, there are practical activities that one can do to take all these things that have their constitutional relationship with the Supreme and engage them in activities, practical activities of devotion, to bring service and happiness unto the Supreme. And as that process of devotional service, acting in our relationship matures, it comes to the stage of love of God. The full awakened state of consciousness of the living being. And this pure love of God is exactly what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to deliver. The science of how that can be made possible. The beginning is the awakening of that dormant consciousness by chanting the holy name of the Lord and also hearing the natural process, the science of how the living entity is constitutionally, fundamentally related to the personality of Godhead, and the activities of devotion are natural expressions of all of that. So I explained the other evening, over a period of years, that was Satya Yuga. King Suvarna Sen resided here. And it's a long time from Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, and Kali Yuga. And even during Kali Yuga, when Mahaprabhu appeared and performed his pastimes in Sridhar Mayapur and in Navadvip in general, after some many generations, those places of pastimes are practically lost, just like the places of Krishna's pastimes. After passage of so many years, those pastimes were practically lost. So the Goswamis were sent to reestablish them. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was empowered to reestablish. Where are those places? What? And where did they take place? So he was doing so through the Navadvip Dham Mahatmya that was published in the late 1800s. But in the early 1900s, something like 1930 in that time frame, by the omniscience, practically speaking, the transcendental omniscience, what else can we, intuition? But he knew when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, similarly following, just as the descriptions of Navadvip Dham Mahatmya are presented, he was following with his devotees, chanting japa, going on this walk, getting inspiration from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as that inspiration from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this area, imagine if you just were going for a walk in what was less developed then, practically speaking, like jungles. What capacity would any of us to have to understand here is a place where the pastimes of Mahaprabhu were performed? We wouldn't have that capacity. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had that capacity. I described this, but I'll repeat it. He saw this mound. You know, with the boundary wall the way it is now, a nice marble temple, it doesn't look the same as it did when I first came here. But it was very clear, a nice tall mound, and Bhaktisiddhanta asked, find out who owns the land. They found out who was the owner of the land. Find out if the landowner is willing to sell it. The landowner wanted to give some agricultural land. Bhaktisiddhanta said, I want this land. He didn't say why. I want this piece of land. So arrangements were made and the land was transferred to Gaudiya Math. And then to excavate a small temple, some excavation was done. And if you go to wash your hands or something like that over on this side, you'll see some of the stone pillars they found as archaeological proof that below this mound was a palace of kings of Arnasain. So these narrations to a non-devotee may seem different than it does to a devotee. Nice, enthusiastic talk about something that's, well, it's just, that's all that it is. But the pastimes of the personality of Godhead took place here. He disclosed himself to King Suvarnasain. And King Suvarnasain took part in Mahaprabhu's pastimes as a great devotee of the Lord. He moved by the mercy of Narada. He moved from the position of being a materialist, a nice materialist, but a materialist, a pious materialist, to a pure devotee, where he could be engaged in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu and have his darshan and have his service and that which we all aspire for through the mercy of one who is carrying pure devotion to the personality of Godhead. And by having that association and by receiving the mercy that they have to offer and taking the instructions and following very carefully, any one of us can similarly become eligible. So it's a place of great mercy where we are. And we should offer our prayers to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, Nityananda Prabhu, like the revealer of the Dham, Bhaktivinoda Thakur as the one who took that message and established it in a written form. He and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who established in a visual form. And our beloved Srila Prabhupada, who brought us from all corners of the earth to come to the same place and help us receive that same mercy. So these great personalities who want nothing but our own spiritual well-being. That's why we've come to this place of pilgrimage, Navadvip Dham. In live action, our wonderful kirtan. But we can do wonderful kirtan in many places. Doing wonderful kirtan here in this place, as mentioned thousands of times, amplified, is the benefit. And when our mood in taking up the chanting of the holy name is right, then that benefit will touch our hearts. I was thinking on that long, arduous ride back from Lord Nityananda's birthplace. We went through so much trouble to get there. And there was trouble to get to here, to go to the trouble to get to there. Why did we do all of that? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is most merciful. And the place of his appearance is so divine, so special. Just to touch the dust of such place. And although it was completely contradictory that the priests want us to not chant the place of Mahaprabhu's appearance, for what reason, I don't know. It might disturb somebody. But not Lord Nityananda. I was thinking next time we go, we should just sit and chant japa together at Garbhavas. Won't be loud kirtan disturbing anybody. But just chanting the holy name in that sacred place, praying to Lord Nityananda to lift us up. And same, he came to this very place to lift us up out of our attachments to finding happiness through fruitive activities and the products of fruitive activity. It's such a strong tendency in the conditioned soul. Such a strong tendency in the conditioned soul. Please, Lord Nityananda, relieve our hearts from that tendency. Show us that mercy in this place. This is what this place signifies. The removing of that tendency by Narada to King Savarna Sen. I liked it much better when it was just a simple, where we are sitting on this nice marble floor and nice marble altar. Before it was just like an outdoor mandap like, in a little simple temple. And same, so the acoustics are great and so on. It's nice, it's clean. But the mood was so simple, so sublime. Anyway, here we are today. We're very fortunate to be in this sacred place. That the temple is being managed by the same Chaitanya Gaudiya Math as the place where Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's headquarters were, and the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya and Gandharvika Giridhari. So these deities are Radha Krishna and Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Sri Nityananda Prabhu ki, Sri Prabhupada ki, Go Premanandi. Jai.